from you and me and a couple of 10 or 110, 120 million pro-life Americans, and are now going to be used for the expressly now by definition for the killing of the soon to be born. You can't say that you don't know it because I just told you. And then you're going to say, Minotaur, please. I have to go to work and I got to be W-2. I can't get out of it. Go 1099 or don't go. Let me just lay it out here for you. If you don't, now that you know, if you don't take steps to wherever possible avoid contributing to this monster, we're now partially culpable. This is an injustice. It's an injustice. It's an act against charity, and it cannot stand. This aggression will not stand, man. So look, Maggie put our AT&T bill up in the chat room. Administrative fee, $1.99. Federal Universal Service charge, 51 cent. What the hell is that? Louisiana Universal Service, 34 cents. Regulatory cost recovery charge. Does that go to AT&T or the government? Don't know. Interstate telephone sales tax, 3 cents. Local wireless 911 surcharge. State telecommunication communication sales tax. Telecom for the deaf fund, 5 cents. There's probably more on there. You can't participate in this. This is the dividing line. Now, I realize that most people, just force of habit, are going to say that it's completely unavoidable and there's nothing they can do about it. And besides, it's just pennies and this and that and the other. You're missing the point, dude. Government is instituted among men, deriving its just powers from the consent of the government. When any government becomes hostile to these ends, the people have an indubitable, indefeasible, and unalienable right to reform, alter, or abolish. That's in the Declaration of Independence, but Jefferson stole that line from George Mason. It's also in the Virginia Constitution in the Virginia Bill of Rights. We have to endure and suffer under this wretched thing called democracy. There should be some abolition going on here. And I've been noting for about 10, 12 years now that the end of the Union is going to come as it should have come back in the 1860s. In the 1860s, it should have come about as the radical nutbag Northerners and their obsession about abolition. This time it's going to come about as an attempt or as an actual end to abortion. Similar words, similar circumstance. Look at what's happening in the state of Texas. Texans are being told that under the U.S. Constitution, they have a constitutional suicidal duty to kill their own civilization, to flood it with people that don't share their values, don't speak their language, and are basically making a claim war against them. When the federales say that Mexican gets to stay here, well, then that means that the good people of the states have to fund that staying there. This is an invasion force. Whether they take the gold directly from the people by raping, robbing, and pillaging them in battle, or whether a hostile, sinister, evil force called the federal government of the United States takes it on their behalf from us and then gives it to them, the end result is the same. We're funding the freaking enemy. The enemy is being funded by the good people. Men and women of good conscience who are good, God-fearing Christians of whatever denomination must now take a stance. No, we're not going to do it. Just tell them no. If enough people truly, we're truly, not just bumper sticker pro-life, truly pro-life, willing to lay their life down on the railroad track with the speeding Biden Express train coming at you, or actually it would be a Pullman car. You remember that commercial that the Trump campaign made? Where it was hysterical. It's animated. There's a little town. Looks like Hooterville. Everywhere, a USA small town. And there's, you know, people meandering around. And then they zoom in on the little railroad station and the tracks. And then things start to shake. And then you hear the sound of the train coming in. And the Trump train goes buzzing through there at 80 miles an hour. And then they cut back, and then they show the Trump train going off into the sunset. And then they pan back to the town, and you hear this. And it's a strange squeaking sound. And then they pan back to the train station, and here comes Biden on a Pullman car, pumping it at going to like 2 miles an hour, and then just muttering gaffe after Biden gaffe. So the Biden Pullman car is bearing down on us. What are we going to do about it? Someone wrote recently that, again, this is 1776 all over again, and this is once again the times that try men's souls. I concur. It is the times that try men's souls. And men are going to have to do something about the trial. Sir Charles Coulomb has a article at the European Conservative.com. Post-liberalism, integralism, what does it all mean? In trying to make sense of the current madness, it is easy for anyone to be like the blind men with the elephant. I'm also going to talk today, I'm going to mix in Frank Wright's latest essay, The Nation Divided, his fourth part on his series on Bonapartism. And he has under the subheading Country versus City, the issues which drive cultural conflict within nations are those concentrated in the cities. You think about this. You go out into a rural environment. There's no one out there campaigning for sodomites. You get out into what we call the sticks, out in the country. You don't see any rainbow fire. Well, you may see one. You don't see agitation for the evil that the so-called left, that's the demonic left, promotes. There's not a lot of disagreement on what things are good either. Whatever the denomination, in my case, it's Catholic. The churches pretty much on Sunday are very well attended. Soon as you get into a city, though, what is it about city life that brings corruption? You know, someone, maybe I should write a Substack on this. And by the way, those of you that are following me on the Substack, the reason I'm not posting as prolifically as I was when I first started is because I got to renovate a house, home, so I can sell it. I got to design the home and the new studio to move the home and then this studio into. I have to hold this fort down, and I just run out of time. It's just not enough hours in a day. Well, what is it that's in a city that's not in the country? Or here, let me reverse the question. What is it that's in the country that's not in the city? Anyone that says that agrarianism doesn't matter is full of it. So what's the divide? What's the difference? Land. Straight up, pure and simple. Land. Land. True independence. True pulling up by bootstraps. There may be camaraderie and there may be solidarity, and there is, but land. Land that you got to work. This is the true meaning of patriotism. Land that you love. You know, in the dystopian sci-fi movies where Galactus and the Marvel Cinematic Universe or some giant asteroid or whatever is coming to whack a city, you know, they try to gin up this fake sense of patriotism that we must rush to the city's defense. And then most of us go like, you can pretty much go ahead and wipe Mordor off the map. We don't care. But when you start talking about wiping Hooterville off the map, then people care. There is an attitude of contempt for the past in every city. The city is only good as the latest thing that it innovated, right? Well, our trains move faster now. This is progress. So you get from one point of usury to the next faster. Yeah, that's real progress, I think. Oh, so you can get from this end of town to the other end where the abortion, where the infanticide clinic is, a little bit faster today. Ooh, what great progress. And Frank says the attitudes of contempt for the past, one's own and that of the nation, of a sense that the people beyond the pale are worth less. These are the deeper currents of the managerial centrism which rules from the urban center. Another paternalist, often called the father of conservatism, was Edmund Burke. Burke believed that the urban concentration of state power after the French Revolution would lead to the replacement of institutions with an ersatz and self-serving machine composed of administrators, business interests, and so on and so forth. Burke wrote, "France will be wholly governed by the agitators and corporations, by societies and the towns, formed by directors of assignats and trustees for the sale of church lands, attorneys, agents, money jobbers, like stock jobbers, speculators and adventurers, composing an ignoble oligarchy founded on the destruction of the crown, the nobility, and the people. Here are all the deceitful dreams and lies of the equality and rights of men." Remember the great lie of the French Revolution. Fraternité, égalité, liberté. Lie, lie, lie. You're in the throes of a revolution right now, American. This isn't 1776, it's 2022. As I did write in a Substack, what are the men of 2022 going to be remembered for doing? We remember the men of 1776. We can quote them. We know what they look like. We know where they met. We know what they did. What are they going to say about the men of 2022?